bring up anything, just dial the toll-free number, 800-259-9231. That's the SACL CAI toll-free line. And it's Ian here with you.
And Guard.
And Mark.
And you can join us on our website at freetalklive.com. All the features on the site are totally free, so enjoy those on us. Again, that's freetalklive.com as we launch into another week of fun and excitement here, talking to you about anything you want. That is the point of the program. You may take advantage of the phone lines or sit back and enjoy the show. 800-259-9231, as again, the show is about your calls, but in the absence of those, well, we've got things that interest us. And Mark, what do you want to start us off with tonight?
Well, it looks like the EPA, this is from businessandmedia.org. It looks like the EPA wants a cow tax that could charge $175 per dairy cow to curb greenhouse gases. Okay, this is, first off,
$175
okay. per cow. And I assume this is per year. Why in the world would they stop at one, just one-time fee for a cow, right?
When they could. Seems like a pretty hefty fee.
It doesn't sound like too much to me, but, you know, it's too much anyway. I mean, does the government now own your cows, too?
Well, they've apparently owned your cows for a long time.
Yeah. Okay, call this one of the newest and most innovative ways your government has come up with to battle greenhouse gas emissions. I don't know that taking money from people is going to battle greenhouse gases, but indirectly it could be considered a cheeseburger tax, but one of the suggestions offered by the Environmental Protection Agency is that the advance notice of proposed rulemaking for regulating greenhouse gas emissions under the Clean Air Act is to levy a tax on livestock. The ANPR, that's the advance notice of proposed rulemaking, released earlier this year, would give the EPA, and this isn't a law, this is a rule.
Right.
And give the EPA the authority to regulate greenhouse gas for not only greenhouse gases from man-made sources like transportation and industry, but also stationary resources, which would include livestock. And this, by the way, is the first thing I've heard of that would even come close to attacking greenhouse gases, if that's such a thing. If you believe the greenhouse gas story.
We're talking about cow farts again.
Got to stop the methane.
Methane is a much bigger issue than CO2 emissions from cars and all that.
They're also going to have to fill in swamps, too.
Yeah, swamps. Yeah. Swamps are a problem.
Get rid of that marsh gas.
Yeah. But those are wetlands, so we must protect them. Wait,
that gas.
What are we going to do to protect the environment? We're destroying the environment. I don't think I can handle this.
Yeah, it's very confusing. So the dairy the tax for dairy cows could be, what about regular cows? Could be $175 per cow and $87.50 per head of beef cattle. So beef cattle, not as big of a problem as dairy cattle, apparently. The tax on hogs would be upwards of $20 per hog. The release said any operation with more than 25 dairy cows, 50 beef cattle, and 20 hogs would have to obtain permits.
Yeah, I saw this story before, Mark, just earlier today, and there were some rumbles about this. I was over at F. Paul Wilson's website, and there's a really good poster over there who picked up on this about a month ago, and she had seen it very, very early. And it just struck me as it brings it to the nth degree. First, the science isn't even backed up because they have some statistics in there that say, well, they think that by doing this, they'll cut down on X amount of greenhouse gases and things like that. But
oh, science. It's not about science. It's about making people feel good about themselves
really
and protecting their buddies in industry.
Exactly. And this sort of thing, as you said, it's not even a law. And second of all, even if it were a law, would it be justified under the U.S. Constitution? No, it would not, because they can't make a provable case that methane gases rising up from farms in the Midwest would be bringing any cause of harm to anyone else anywhere. You see, this is the case where
cows have been farting for a long time.
You know, based on for those of us here, you know, when I sit in with you guys on Free Talk Live, you know, we go beyond the Constitution to an even freer concept of society where the Constitution might not necessarily apply. But if we are going to pose our question within the framework of the government, then what we need to do is say, is the government justified in handling this? And the only reason they would be justified is if there were someone who were being harmed someplace else. Then the Interstate Commerce Clause would be called into play, and they could go into the Congress and say, we need to do something about this.
Somebody,
but there's no proof.
You could make the argument that farting does harm people. I mean, it's not the most pleasant thing in the world.
And I should retract my statement a little bit. Then it wouldn't even be a case of of the Interstate Commerce Clause coming into play, because the Interstate Commerce Clause was written to stop tariffs between states. What this would be, this would be a tort case.
Yeah.
In that case, you'd have to go to court to file a claim of damages because your median temperature in your area had been increased by X amount and it was harming your lifestyle. There would be a tortious case, and again, you have no proof of any sort of damage, so
yeah.
You can't go to court. This whole thing is predicated on a falsehood, of scientific falsehood in the first place. They can't prove it, and second of all, you can't prove, even if you could prove that it were raising the temperature, the median temperature, by X amount of degrees within a lifespan, you can't prove damages. So all of this activity is A, unconstitutional, and B, even if you were going to bring it up for a tort claim, you wouldn't be able to do anything. It's stupid. It wouldn't go into a court.
Rush Limbaugh said on his show today that apparently there's as much, and I believe, you know, that he had to check, if he's going to say facts, he has to pretty much check them, I would assume, that there's as much Arctic ice now as there was in 1979 when the scientists were predicting the next ice age.
Yeah, and of course, if you look at it, median temperatures in the world, they plateaued at 1998. Now they've started going down over the past few years. So we're in a global cooling phase recently, and the Antarctic has been increasing in size with it regard to its glaciers.
But facts do not dissuade these people.
Yeah.
I read recently that, in fact, that some European scientists are coming up with Plan B, which is to sprinkle pixie dust or some something I think it's in the water. They're going to put pixie dust in the water.
Wait. You mean they can't just pass a law that'll make all the unnecessary...
Oh, they're going to do that too, my friend.
It'll just make all the chemicals just disappear, won't it?
Well, maybe...
sign a piece of paper. Can't they make farts smell better if they just pass a law, too?
I don't know if you guys... You watch Mythbusters once in a while, right?
I've heard it's a great show, though.
Yeah, Carrie on Mythbusters is one of the major reasons for any male to watch, almost any male, to watch the program. She's just awesome. She's cute. She's great. And
Carrie ain't doing nothing for me.
Oh, well, sorry, man. Well, anyway, they had one episode that never aired to see whether or not pretty women pass gas.
Nice.
And, you know, far be it from me to start your program off by introducing this subject, but this inevitably leads one. If you're getting government policies, look, here's the thing. You've got government imposing damages on people because if they do this, A, without a law, unconstitutional, because the Congress is not supposed to be able to cede any of its power to any other body. This is not even one of its powers, so they're inventing a power that they're ceding to another body, so it's a double blow. But let's say they impose this, 175 per head of cattle, right? Let's say they do this. That is a harm on the consumer. To
correct.
X amount. They're
because
not getting their protein or whatever. They'll have to turn to something else.
You'll have to pay more for
exactly.
the products.
Exactly. So
7 to 8 cents per gallon.
Right. So
per milk.
Oh, that's just perfect. So
not to mention hamburger and the other products.
Yeah, not to mention, right. So let's say we've got that, right? Let's say we impose that on people. That is a damage that you're incurring on those people, right? Well, if the government can do this in this invisible way, and people will just accept it as the pot gets turned up and the frog gets a little bit warmer, then would the government, then, you know, the movers and shakers in the offices of government then say, well, we're going to do something even further because we're not stopping enough methane. We're going to force everyone to have to take GasX. We're going to force everyone not to eat broccoli or beans, lentils, anything that can cause any sort of gas. Because human beings, the larger the population increase, human beings are just wiping out the environment.
Eventually, if you keep farting, somebody's going to light a match, and we're all going to die.
And then, of course, if it comes down to it, you could say, well, we could actually impose a regulation on females to have to become sterilized or men to get their tubes tied beyond a certain number of children that they have born. Because those children are causing problems for the atmosphere, and that damages all of us. Just like in Canada, they forced everybody to put helmets on because, well, we all pay your medical bills. So if this is the logic behind this thing, then they can, you know, where do you stop?
You don't.
There is no ending point. And you're right. The socialist medicine system is used as an excuse around the world to control people's behavior. So if anybody thinks it's going to be somehow different here in America when it's implemented, you're nuts. 800-259-9231 would love your thoughts on this or whatever you want to discuss. This is your show. It is Free Talk Live.
Are you tired of paying $100 an hour for computer support just for the problem to return? Hi, I'm Luke Ford, founder and CEO of My Computer Works. Whenever you have a major computer catastrophe or a simple question, give my U.S.-based computer technicians a call, and they'll remotely connect your computer and fix the problem for you. It's safe, secure, and you won't have to let a stranger into your home. Call now to receive 1 month of service free with a membership. Now let's hear from some of our satisfied customers.
They cleaned up the computer and I sat there and watched everything going on. I was just having a ball.
So the convenience of having My Computer Works connect to my computer right then, fix it for me immediately, is priceless.
I was having a lot of major problems with my computer, and they basically evaluated the computer and went through and eliminated the problems I was having.
Call now to solve all of your computer problems. 888-629-9903. 888-629-9903. That's 888-629-9903.
My Computer Works. Does yours?
Hi, John Huebner from Midas Resources. Are you tired of watching your hard-earned assets dwindle away? As government spending is out of hand and the Federal Reserve is creating in excess of $20 billion a week, are you tired of stockbrokers gambling away your hard-earned money? Is this market a setup for a crash greater than 1987? Too many of today's policies resemble those that led to the collapse of 1929. How much are you willing to lose? Take action now. Call me at 1-800-686-2237, extension 129. I believe that we are facing a financial catastrophe of biblical proportion. Over recent decades, numerous economic systems have failed. Current Federal Reserve policy and uncontrolled government spending have set the stage for the United States to be the next target. Secure your assets today by calling 1-800-686-2237, extension 129. Do this while paper can still buy gold. Call me, John Huebner, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 129.
So you finally decided you're going to stock up and store food. But why settle for bland, tasteless food? Why settle for less? There is an alternative. InternetGrocer.net. Enjoy the most delicious storable food at amazing prices. Enjoy creamy, delicious, real cheddar cheese in a can. Indulge in real canned meats and real canned butter. Storable meals from InternetGrocer.net will bring such variety and flavor you won't be able to tell you're actually eating storable food. You can purchase by the can or by the case. Choose a variety pack or an entire year's worth of food. InternetGrocer.net has non-hybrid seeds that will produce delicious food for you and your family. Ensure your food supply for years. Find out just how delicious storable food can be. Call 903-356-6443. That's 903-356-6443. Open from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. Central Standard Time. Or shop online at internet-grocer.net. Again, that's internet-grocer.net.
The time clock is ticking. Laws could change. The new world order is advancing rapidly. Health consciousness is fading away. Junk food, fast food, fat food is the new world order's game. Don't play the game. Slim down, detox, and cleanse yourself from the chemical foods and processed food that we intake daily. And now for the holiday special. Buy 1 month of Super Tea, and we'll throw in an extra 2 weeks. That's right, 1 month of Super Tea, and we'll throw in an extra 2 weeks. It won't last long, so order now. GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Or call us at 928-308-0408. That's 928-308-0408. Order now before you can't.
This is Free Talk Live. Call toll-free 1-800-259-9231. That's 800-259-9231. And get interactive at freetalklive.com.
Free Talk Live, you can bring up anything, just dial toll-free to 1-800-259-9231. That's the SACL CAI toll-free line, and it's Ian here with you.
And Guard.
And Mark.
And you can join us on our website at freetalklive.com. All the features are totally free, so enjoy those on us. Again, that's freetalklive.com. The features include the Shrine of Female Listeners. Dozens of ladies who've sent us their validated photo to prove they listen to the show. Head over to shrine.freetalklive.com to see what it's all about. That's shrine.freetalklive.com. It's actually, you know what? I think there is a submission somewhere in my email box. I just am a little backed up. So I think we've got a new Shriner coming out here within the next week or so as soon as I get to that.
Right.
shrine.freetalklive.com. So we're talking, start of the show out tonight with a story about a $175 tax or fee. Are they calling it a fee, Mark, this new $175 thing?
It says tax in the story, but the EPA isn't really saying.
Well, they'll use the quaint terminology. Huh?
So a duck is a duck, right? If it walks like a duck, looks like a duck, quacks like a duck, it probably is one. So this is obviously a new tax, whatever it is they're calling it. But they're going to be taxing every single head of cattle in the entire country. Now,
hogs too.
And hogs as well. And maybe they'll start taxing more than that. Maybe chickens are coming next. I mean, apparently they're being taxed because they fart too much or something like that.
Pretty soon we're all going to be eating fish, you know.
Right. I mean, I hope they don't find out
Whoa. If you eat fish, you're depleting the fisheries, the world's fishery population. It's already depleted terribly. Sorry. You cannot eat fish. You must eat soybeans.
Well, that's okay because there are no more fish. Julia has informed me that according to the people over at PETA, they have renamed fish to sea kittens.
All right. Sea kittens.
You didn't get the press release on that one?
Wow.
The people over at PETA are completely bat-ass crazy.
What do you do when you get attacked by a great white out on the seacoast of Australia? And like, oh, that giant sea kitten.
Throw a ball of yarn, dummy.
Yeah.
I guess the idea was that fish just aren't taken as I guess people see them as not as friendly as your average kitties or dogs, and so they wanted people to stop eating fish, so they figured if they renamed fish to sea kittens, then it would be that much more difficult for people to dig into their next fillet.
It's not going to stick anywhere.
No, of course not. It's ludicrous.
Are they saying that it is then better to eat kittens than fish?
You know, I can think of is Shakespeare. A rose by any other name would smell just as sweet, and a fish by any other name would be just as slimy. Yeah. Although the connotations, the visual and oral connotations or the sound of words do have an effect on people, I think, at a certain point.
I guess that was their intention. And, of course, they're marketing all of their stuff at little kids. This is being marketed towards small children, and I guess the idea is to get the kids to strike up a conversation with mom and dad about what they eat. And, of course, they're against eating any sort of animals. They're actually against owning animals, as a matter of fact.
Most kids are against eating a lot of things.
Yeah.
You know, macaroni and cheese and chicken fingers seem to be on just about every kid's menu out there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Mark,
Ian, you mentioned earlier, I just happened to delve into the Canadian medical system and how they control people's lives because they say we all pay. And this is analogous with this this tax on anything that is emitting methane, right? So what I find fascinating about this is you happen to mention that, you know, this whole thing is, or I guess someone else in the room mentioned during a break, this whole thing is sort of a religion, and it is a religion. It's not based on any sort of scientific fact or anything like that. It's based on a bunch of theories.
The whole environmental change thing?
Yeah, exactly. That anthropogenic global warming, man's activity is causing global warming. And what fascinates me is, in a way, the socialists are going to be moving in to control our lives with environmental movements the same way that they've been going in to control our lives with medical care.
Mm-hmm.
So they completely destroy the healthcare system with regulation after regulation after regulation. And what do they do with the food supply? They apply more and more regulation to transportation, to what can be in it. You're going to have taxes on this stuff now. It's the same sort of thing. It's this encroachment and fear that if people are left to their own devices, that somehow the world will somehow collapse. And yet it's when people are left to their own devices that advancement occurs and people's lives are bettered. It's not advanced by someone going in and knocking somebody else on the head and taking what he made. All you have to do is look at Plymouth Plantation. For goodness sake, they tried that and they couldn't make it. They tried group-owned property, and it didn't work. They tried Plato, and it turned out Plato was a fool, and Socrates was too.
And they figured it out and changed.
Yeah, they changed.
What's it going to take for Americans and people around the world to figure out that socialism is destructive, that forced redistribution of wealth is something that's not desirable for mankind? What will it take for people to come to these conclusions? I mean, it seems like we're very far away from people having that epiphany.
You know, I'm reading a long essay. It's actually a collection of speeches by a man named Bertrand DiGiorno, and he passed away a while ago. And this is something that was published by Liberty Fund Books, and it's part of a seminar I'm going to be attending in February. And so it's one of the pieces of the criterion that I have to read. It's in the syllabus. And it's called The Ethics of Redistribution. And this writer goes into criticizing socialism, criticizing Marxism and communism and so on. He criticizes Rousseau, one of the first people to really articulate the socialist ideal. But unfortunately, this guy starts off from the standpoint of saying, well, you know, the socialists want equality of outcome, and so they want redistribution of wealth based on people's needs, right? And he says, yeah, and he says, you know, a lot of people want fairness, and I have no problem, he says, with the idea that, you know, land should be equally distributed. Because, you know, God put us all on this earth and no one owns the earth. So therefore, you know, I can understand equal distribution of land at the outset, and then everybody can use their skills beyond that. And I'm saying to myself, how is it possible that even a guy who supposedly defends liberty doesn't understand the principal foundations of how we have to deal with each other when we have a certain amount of limited natural resources? We have to allow people to be able to acquire those natural resources without artificially having other people tell them who can have it.
Without having some know-it-all handing out little land passes
to people. He has a total non-starter. He says, oh, well, yes, you know, I'm criticizing socialism, but I certainly accept the idea that land should be distributed equally among people to give them all a fair start. Well,
check your premises.
What's fair? What kind of land am I going to get?
When is the start?
Exactly. I mean, it's just ridiculous.
When did we start? I'm not sure when we started.
You can have this swamp over here,
because the land was relatively equal at that point. And, you know, I mean, people could go get it. And there's free land out there for the taking right now. Go to Venus. Get some free land.
This is the thing, too, Mark. As you know, not only does every parcel of land have different qualities to it, or whatever it might be, granite in the ground, or water nearby, or a swamp, or an oceanfront area, whatever it might be, plains for planting, whatever. But in addition to that, over time, people value those things differently because human ingenuity applies itself in new ways.
Right. Oil used to be a nuisance to farmland.
Absolutely.
1-800-259-9231, until somebody in search of a profit figured out how to turn it into a valuable resource.
Right.
You can bring up anything. Take control of the airwaves. Toll free, 800-259-9231. That number brought to you by SACL CAI. This is Free Talk Live.
Did you know that it's a documented fact 80% of all Americans and 85% of people around the world suffer from internal parasites and parasitic infection? You may be one of millions of people suffering from one of dozens of debilitating chronic diseases from these parasites, and your doctor would never know it. In fact, clinically detected parasites account for only 1% of all cases. Don't continue to suffer from pain due to misdiagnosis. Now you can fight internal parasites, heavy metal poisoning, and high cholesterol naturally and safely by mixing fossilized phytoplankton powder, also known as FPP, with your favorite beverage once a day. FPP is used around the world, has numerous uses, and is now available to you from Freshwater Organics. FPP strengthens skin, hair, and bones, lowers cholesterol, and is an excellent source of natural plant-based silica with 14 trace minerals. Order some today at freshwaterorganics.com. Again, that's freshwaterorganics.com, or call 888-949-3570.
IonicZone.com has the best prices on commercial shock treatment ozone generators starting at $299. But did you know IonicZone.com also sells a water ozonator that's a must-have for anyone interested in good health? It's true. The IonicZone Digital Water Ozonator features an air intake and can be fed dry air through the supplied air dryer or pure oxygen via an oxygen tank. ozone-fortified water can be used to kill bacteria, sanitize food, produce, and eliminates bacteria in the mouth by gargling, which helps prevent bad breath and even heart disease. The optional ozone bidet attachment is used for personal hygiene, which can kill the bacteria down below that can lead to irritation. It's amazing what 3 atoms of oxygen can do. Call Ionic Zone today at 1-800-549-9535. That's 1-800-549-9535. Or visit them on the web at ioniczone.com. That's ioniczone.com today.
Break the law and you're caught on film.
Practically impossible for police to spot plates that have been treated with the reflective spray. The reflection blinded our camera.
We are under the microscope. Red light cameras and speed cameras are in place to make money, not for your safety. But you don't have to be defenseless against these unconstitutional devices. Have a fighting chance with SprayYourPlate.com's photo blocker. When properly applied, this revolutionary product has proven itself to be the most effective device available against traffic cameras. Invisible to the naked eye, your license plate, when flashed, will be overexposed and unreadable to the cameras. Save your money. Go to SprayYourPlate.com. That's SprayYourPlate.com. And check out the newscast showing the photoblocker in action, proving that the SprayYourPlate's photoblocker works against traffic cameras. Go to SprayYourPlate.com or call 1-800-276-9601. That's 1-800-276-9601. Don't give your money to the state. Spray your plate. And when the cameras flash, you'll save some cash.
Now that the election is over and the shock is beginning to wear off, Ready Reserve Foods, in an effort to get as many Americans prepared for the promised changes of the new administration and to help you and your family survive the global economic crash, Ready Reserve is offering the pre-inauguration special. Between now and January 20th, 2009, all food units U1 through U7 are being offered at wholesale prices. That's a 33% savings. A year's supply of meals starts as low as 73 cents per meal. Ready Reserve Food offers only the highest quality dehydrated food, packed in double enameled cans in an inert nitrogen atmosphere, allowing a 15-plus year shelf life. Ready Reserve has been manufacturing since 1972, giving them the freedom to offer you amazing savings. Great tasting Ready Reserve Foods at wholesale prices. Order now at ReadyReserveFoods.com or call today, 1-800-453-2202. That's 1-800-453-2202.
Are you tired of searching for Freak Talk Radio? Well, search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
This is Free Talk Live. You can bring up whatever you want via the toll-free number at 800-259-9231. That's the SACL CAI toll-free line. And it's Ian here with you.
And Gard.
And Mark.
And you can join us on our website. FreeTalkLive.com is the place to go. All the features totally free. So enjoy those on us. Again, that is FreeTalkLive.com. And those features include the archives. If you've missed a moment of the show, click and download. They're right there on the front page of the website for your downloading convenience. Enjoy those on us. Again, that's FreeTalkLive.com. And if the stories of civil disobedience here in New Hampshire have touched, moved, and inspired you, but you're unable for whatever reason to be involved, well, now you can. The Civil Disobedience Evolution Fund at cdevolution.org allows you to care for these brave men and women by financially supporting them while they face down the organizations that operate through violence and coercion. cdevolution.org. It's a wonderful organization that is just brand new. It's getting started, and it could use your support. cdevolution.org allows you to essentially not stick your head above the water and support those who are willing to do so. And I think that's a position a lot of people would like to be in, because they've got a lot to risk, they've got a lot on the line, and, well, there are people, honestly, with less to risk that would be more effective at doing civil disobedience. And if you are one of those people that just has too much on the line and you feel too uncomfortable getting involved personally, this is a great way to get involved with your finances and really help those folks out that are doing really some amazingly brave, courageous work.
Yeah.
In fact, Sam from Texas, who I guess he's no longer from Texas, we'll have to OTN Sam, Obscure Truth Network Sam today, was actually preparing to be involved in a little disobedience, but it didn't work out. We were doing the Fully Informed Jury Association outreach this morning,
as we do on a monthly basis here in Keene, New Hampshire. I don't know how many other places around the country have this happening on a consistent basis. I don't imagine there are too many of them. If you know of any other places where this goes on, I'd love to hear about it. But how many other FIJA activists are out there every single jury selection?
In a group.
In a group.
Yeah.
Handing out fully informed jury association information. Is it happening consistently anywhere else? I'd love to know. I've invited, actually, I've posted a challenge over on the New Hampshire Liberty Forum, which is kind of a forum for more political activists here in New Hampshire. I posted a challenge and said, hey, what's going on here, guys? I mean, our little group here in Keene, a little group of activists in little old Keene, is doing this FIJA outreach every single time they've got jury selection. And I understand that big places like Manchester might have selection more than once a month, but you also have more activists. People. So what's going on? Where's your FIJA outreach? This is a great political action that people can take. And I think it can make a big difference. You're handing out information, telling potential jurors, hey, you have the right to judge these cases based on your thoughts about the law, not whether or not the facts in the case are true. You can actually say, well, I don't agree with the prostitution law, so not guilty. We're giving people that information as they're walking into the courthouse. And they're bored as hell sitting in there. People have thanked us. They've said, wow, thanks. I needed something to read.
It's really empowering, too, when you're there and you have the information. Information and you know that other people don't have the information, and you can give them that. You know,
sure.
As I've mentioned here before, I've sat there for a jury pool and actually stood up and said to the judge, there's something that you did not have on your card for our jurors' rights and duties, which is the fact that we can find someone not guilty if we believe the law is wrong.
And you were summarily dismissed.
No, I wasn't. No? But actually what happened was the judge said, they bring everybody in one group,
right,
and they sit everybody down and hand you this card. So he said, anybody have any questions? Anyone have any questions? Yes, sir.
Perfect.
I have a question. So I was going to say something like, can I, you know, decide to not pay your salary here, but that wasn't an option. So I said my statement, and he said, well, yes, the young man is correct. That is true. You can find someone not guilty if you think the law is wrong. So then,
that's amazing that he even admitted that.
They split you up into separate rooms. No, not yet. Not at that point. It was funny, Mark. It was weird because I sat down in this other courtroom and they started to pick jurors. And the amazing thing was that a few days before I had had to go in for this stupid jury duty thing. the phraseology is hilarious. I had seen a report on a local TV station about a man in Manchester, which they call Manch Vegas, because they often have video gambling there, which is illegal. And he was operating a video gambling thing in the back of his video store. And so I thought, oh, man, wouldn't it be great if I got seated on that jury? Oh, man, that would be so. Well, guess what? Who's sitting there at the defense table when I'm brought over to this new courtroom? This guy. I said, oh, man, this is going to be great. They picked me. I'm sitting in the jury box, but the prosecutor, they have
heard you previously.
Exactly. They can pull off a certain number of people. Both prosecution and defense can say, we'd like to replace that person or that person before it's all finally seated.
Were you the first to go?
I was the first to go. The prosecutor's like, not that guy.
So that's why the fully.
Now, hold on just a second. This is one thing that bothers me about the whole prosecution process. I understand things are supposed to be fair, but hold on. Every one of us is a citizen. The prosecutor should not get to pull out of the
That's
jury pool.
Point.
Now, I can see why the defense would be able to. But there absolutely shouldn't be that case. Why should the state? The state has the burden of proof.
Yeah,
I mean, all the burden relies with them. Why in the world do they get to kick citizens off of the out of the jury pool? That's
you are
absolutely wrong.
Your point is absolutely spot on there, Mark. However, the odds of changing that within the system are much lower.
Absolutely.
And going out and actually handing out enough flyers to the jurors to where you can actually just
I think you have standing for a court case. I mean, the whole system is flawed.
As a juror who has been kicked off.
You've been kicked off, and it was obviously with prejudice. And it doesn't have to be. It doesn't matter why it is, but it's obvious that
wouldn't it be interesting if there was ideological discrimination? And Ian, I think you were probably going to say earlier that makes it even better to be able to hand out the pamphlets in a way where no one inside sees. All these people have been handed this stuff beforehand.
Oh, they know.
No one is selected. Oh, I see.
We're standing right out in front of the courthouse.
So you're getting everybody, and
every
it's just universal. Every person's going to have one of those, so they can't go
almost
and try.
Almost everybody. Well, here in New Hampshire, almost everybody takes them. Down in Florida, when I did this a couple times down in Florida to get a little experience at it, and I don't know. It's probably like 60% of people take it down there, whereas about 90% of people that walk by take it up here.
Interesting.
People down in Florida were very suspicious of your motives. The people down in Florida would make comments to the effect of, well, I don't believe in trying to get out of jury duty. Look, that's not what I'm trying to explain to you.
Right.
This is not, it's not about that.
Well,
they
people in Florida
presume.
Are also older and therefore crankier.
Yeah, I don't understand. You just say, hey, put yourself in the place of a possible defendant, okay? And you know what's interesting? This is all derived, the fully informed jury thing is all derived from common law, British common law. And, we were talking earlier, last week or the week before, about the growth of law as an artificial thing, where you don't need law because you can have societal agreements that are similar to laws, and you don't have to have codifications by politicians or judges that are paid for whether you like it or not. It can all be done through common law. And as Sheldon Richman once told me, he said, yeah, Gard, that was the way the common law came up. They didn't have the term the way we have it now, codified law, until after they had this spontaneous organic outgrowth of human interaction where people came up with their own rules of societal behavior. And they said, you know what, this is what I accept in this particular society among my friends. This is good. We'll have restitution if somebody steals. We'll have make sure the murder is not right. These were common law things. They weren't codified or written down. Now you've got things codified, and under the British common law system, when they had the judges, when they had the magistrates there and so on, the common law system was such that the people could, if they were put on a jury, it was very well understood, find someone not guilty. It was the last check against the feudal system.
Correct.
And in this case, they're trying to eliminate that as they've increased codification. Yes.
Yeah.
They took what was organically created through spontaneous interaction of people. They took over. The state took it, codified it, and then they eliminated this, or they're trying to eliminate this fully informed jury.
Just about eliminated.
As a simple example of how eliminated it has been, there was a defense attorney who came into the court today when we were doing the FIJA outreach who had never heard of jury nullification. He loved the idea. He'd never heard of it before.
Wicked.
So now I've been teaching it in law school. 800-259-9231. That's the SACL CAI toll-free line. You bring up what you want. This is Free Talk Live.
Are you tired of paying $100 an hour for computer support just for the prompt to return? Hi, I'm Luke Ford, founder and CEO of My Computer Works. Whenever you have a major computer catastrophe or a simple question, give my U.S.-based computer technicians a call, and they'll remotely connect your computer and fix the problem for you. It's safe, secure, and you won't have to let a stranger into your home. Call now to receive 1 month of service free with a membership. Now let's hear from some of our satisfied customers.
They cleaned up the computer and I sat there and watched everything going on. I was just having a ball.
So the convenience of having My Computer Works connect to my computer right then, fix it for me immediately, is priceless.
I was having a lot of major problems with my computer, and they basically evaluated the computer and went through and eliminated the problems I was having.
Call now to solve all of your computer problems. 888-629-9903. 888-629-9903. That's 888-629-9903.
My Computer Works. Does yours?
With rising unemployment and an economy that continues to fail, comes an increase in crime. Are you safe when you walk to your car? Are your kids safe when they go out? Everyone needs something to give that extra edge in case of an attack. You need DPS pepper spray from MrDefense.com. DPS is the strongest pepper spray on the market and is the same spray used by hundreds of law enforcement agencies from around the world. Need something more? The Stinger keychain is a great way to surprise a potential attacker. Mr. Defense carries the largest selection of stun guns, air tasers, knives, swords, batons, survival, spy, and tactical gear. Mention this ad and receive 10% off your order. Visit MrDefense.com.
That's MRDefense.com or call 1-800-313-6400. 1-800-313-6400. That's 1-800-313-6400 today.
Attention. This is an extremely urgent, self-reliant news bulletin. If you have ever wanted to produce your own cheaper-than-dirt survival food, this is going to be the most important message you will ever hear. Here is why. This network has just learned of a new video course that reveals the secrets of how to safely prepare and store all types of survival foods in an event of social unrest and food shortages here in the U.S. Grain shortages and hunger are spreading across the globe. Will troops guard the food supplies in the U.S. this fall? Don't wait. Learn the food shortage skills that can keep you and your family alive in a crisis. Get the details at foodshortageusa.com. That's foodshortageusa.com. Or you can call toll-free 877-327-0365. Don't wait for empty shelves. Go to foodshortageusa.com while you still have time. www.foodshortageusa.com or toll-free at 877-327-0365. Act now.
We all know that the Berkey water systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. The revolutionary Berkey Light self-sterilizing and recleanable purification elements purify water by removing pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels, and by extracting harmful chemicals such as herbicides, pesticides, VOCs, organic solvents, radon-222, and trihalomethanes. They also reduce nitrates, nitrites, sediment, and unhealthy minerals such as lead and mercury. As an authorized dealer for over 2.5 years, serving thousands of satisfied customers, we offer amazing specials for Berkey Light water systems. Order the Berkey Light system today, complete with two black Berkey filter elements and free KDF shower filter for only $209, plus free shipping. That's right, free shipping and one KDF shower filter, a $49 value free for a limited time. Just call the Berkey guy at 1-877-886-3653 now to order. That's 1-877-886-3653, or simply click on the banner at gcnlive.com to order online now. Not yet available in Iowa.
You're listening to Free Talk Live. Call toll-free 1-800-259-9231. That's 800-259-9231 and log on at freetalklive.com.
This is Free Talk Live. You can bring up anything. The toll-free number for you is 800-259-9231. That's the SACL CAI toll-free line, and it's Ian here with you.
And Gart.
And Mark.
And you can join us on our website at freetalklive.com. The features we give away, now if you like the show and you want to help support Free Talk Live, you can do so by shopping with us at amazon.freetalklive.com. Enter Amazon through that link. Free Talk Live will get a percentage of your purchase. You can buy even used items through Amazon, and Free Talk Live will still get a cut. So feel good, because you're getting the things that you need for life and maybe the things you want to. And Free Talk Live is getting a percentage if you enter through amazon.freetalklive.com. Let's go to your phone calls. Eric in Texas. You're on Free Talk Live. Hello, Eric. Eric,
hey,
in
guys.
Texas. Hey.
Hey, first of all, I just wanted to thank you for the amazing interview you guys did with Barry Cooper the other night. Just finished listening to that. That was awesome.
Well, thank Barry for it, because he was the one that held on for over 2 hours to talk to us and our callers. And, of course, if nobody had called in, the interview would have only lasted an hour. But people had a lot they wanted to say to Barry.
Yep.
Barry Cooper, man. He's cool.
People can go get that interview right there on the front page, by the way, at freetalklife.com if they missed it.
But I wanted to talk to you. I was talking to a libertarian friend of mine today about a situation that came up over the weekend. And when I told him my opinion of this situation, he told me I was a hypocritical libertarian.
Okay. Give it to me. What was it?
Yeah. Here's what happened. An acquaintance of mine who has a wife who is about 8 months pregnant got busted over the weekend for his third DWI.
Which
in the state of Texas is an automatic felon.
What's the penalty?
I believe the minimum is 5 years, but I think they can probate it out.
Wow.
And I expressed to my friend, I was like, you know, I think the law sucks and all, but honestly, my acquaintance is dumb, was my opinion. I mean, I was there, I saw him that night, he was plastered, and had no business behind the wheel of a car. And as much as I think it sucks that he got busted when he hadn't hurt anybody, he knew that he had two priors, and he could have called any one of us to drive him home.
Yeah, it's hard to feel too sorry for somebody like that, but like you said, on the other hand, he didn't harm anybody, so who's the victim?
Yeah.
Right.
That's tough.
I have to agree. I mean, you know, when somebody violates a law like that and they're bad at it. I mean, he's proven that he's really bad at this whole driving and not getting caught while drunk kind of thing.
Obviously not too concerned about the consequences.
Yeah. Clearly not. So I see both sides of this. I'm sort of the opinion that that the government owns the roads, whether we like it or not, and I don't. And
they don't own anything. If you steal things, you don't own what you steal.
Really, I think this piece of property that we're on now once belonged to Abernathy Indians. Why
didn't
you give it
steal
back?
This property?
Oh, I see. Well, neither did the people in the government that now have the roads, because somebody stole it a long time ago. So anyway, the government has the roads, controls the roads, and those are the rules of the road. And you know, I think those are some of the last rules we should go yanking out. And driving while drunk, really bad news.
It's a tough position to take as somebody that loves liberty, but I'll take it. I think that, I don't know if it is one of the last things, Mark. I mean, as far as from a PR perspective, it's a tough issue. It's something that will be very difficult to communicate to people, but I think that a lot of people's lives are ruined and turned upside down by getting these DUI charges, and their driver's license are suspended, meaning it's near to impossible for them to go and continue working, because most people have to drive to get to work, and so it really can throw somebody's life for a loop if they make this little mistake and, you know, drink. A lot of people that get DUIs have just drunk a little too much. I mean, some of them are just above the limit. They're not necessarily driving dangerously. DWI doesn't necessarily mean that they were endangering anybody at all. Now, if you've actually harmed somebody or you're driving to the point where you are driving dangerously, you know, going the wrong way down a one-way street that's got traffic on it or something like that, then I could certainly see there being some action taken. But generally, I think that there was a great article over at LouRockwell.com that really outlined some great reasons why DWI should be legal, in that if you are drunk and you know you're drunk and you're at a bar or something like that and you want to go home, if DWI is legal, then you could go 5 miles an hour in the right-hand lane or, you know, very, very slowly drive yourself home to the point where your reaction time won't matter if you're driving slow enough. If you're going 5 miles an hour, you can have pretty slow reaction time and you'll probably make it home in one piece. But people can't do that today. If they're drunk today, you can't go putter around at 10 miles an hour in the right-hand lane. Some cop's going to pull you over for driving too slow and then find out you're drunk. So, so we could probably save lives by legalizing DWI and making it illegal or whatever to just put people's lives in danger.
Ian, I always like the, I don't even know what you call it, I guess the inconsistency of you can't drink and drive, but you can't be drunk in public. So you can't walk home, you can't drive home. You know, what are you supposed to do?
Right.
Yeah, well, you know, there are a couple levels of thought here. One is, for those of us who don't support codified laws in the first place in any way whatsoever, this is sort of one that's difficult for us to grasp, and we don't abide by the concept that the government has any legitimate claim on the roads in any way whatsoever. And I think that's sort of what, you know, Ian and Mark were sort of disagreeing about a little bit earlier about the ownership of the roads. Whether it's legitimate is one thing or it's illegitimate
is another.
They
possess the roads.
Right, they do possess them, and it's a matter of working with in that sphere, many libertarians who don't adhere to the anarchist, anarcho-capitalist point of view, although many of them will eventually be there, I believe, they will say, look, the only rationale for law or for prosecution is if someone has been harmed, as you say. And so that's where the crux of this seems to be. If no one has been harmed by this individual, if there is no victim, as we were discussing before with the methane thing, then is the state justified in taking some sort of an action? Well, unfortunately, the state sets up all sorts of these parameters beyond any sort of direct conflict, as in harm or anything that's been brought to someone, to try to be preventative. And that opens up a whole ball of wax. I tend to look at the opinion of, if you did have private roads, then you would have some sort of private mechanism that would arise where they might actually, if you were to pay for it, for a private road, they might even actually have a service to take you home.
That's a possibility,
likely,
sure.
Likely, if we had actual restitution, a system that really did give restitution to people, I think that you would find that that the punitive sort of restitution that would come with murder or, like some kind of negligent manslaughter.
Like getting in drunk and hitting somebody?
That would be a negligent manslaughter, as far as I'm concerned. Yeah. Those, the kind of punitive damages that arbitrators or juries or whatever would give to these people would probably be something akin to winning the lottery. I can tell you that if my wife had to make a choice between me or $20 million, she'd probably pick the 20 mil, you know? and I understand that life would be good for them, so it wouldn't bother me as much. You understand the punitive trades. Now, I'm not saying in the case where you accidentally kill someone, because I would think that arbitrators or juries or whatever would make a differentiation between something that is, some way to kill someone that's bad and some way to kill somebody that's sort of accidental.
Sure, but it could have been prevented. If you're talking about a DWI situation, you're talking about somebody drinking, getting behind the wheel of a car, and then somebody dying as a result of that, it was totally preventable. And if people actually, and I'm glad you brought this point up, the point of restitution here, if people actually had to pay restitution to those who were victimized in those cases, that would be a major deterrent to somebody getting behind the wheel of a car while drinking. I mean, usually it's like a few $1,000 that you have to pay into the state if you get caught with DWI. But what if you had to pay $20,000, $30,000, $50,000, $100,000, $1 million, or more than that to somebody who was victimized? People that are watching that are going to tell themselves, "Wow, you know, this is pretty serious. I better be careful."
You know, the fact is, you could, and I think that this would be borne by sort of common law, like old time laws out there, is that essentially your life would be forfeit at that point, and the money that you made would more or less go to the family.
Yeah, you'd be working for them for the rest of your life.
You would.
You know, a way to get around this is to just not have the state, is to just have it all done privately, and then you'd have to agree to it. You'd have to have some sort of insurance liability to get on the roads. There'd be different types of roads for people who had the insurance and these types of systems.
Right, then you'd owe the insurance company.
Yeah, so the conflict between the caller and his friend wouldn't exist if we had the private system,
Eric,
because they'd be in different systems.
Any other thoughts, Eric? Eric in Texas?
Are we lost like him?
You guys talk too long.
Hypothetical. I just want to pose this hypothetical to you guys, though. Let's say you did, you could solve these problems by creating a private marketplace where differing people of differing interests would have different types of roads. Let's say there were a group of people who said, I don't want to pay for the insurance, and they go out on the risky roads that are out there.
Okay.
Right? If somebody gets killed, they all knew about it. Do you think there would be a tendency for the people watching it outside to say, oh, that's not right, something should be done about that, and to try to start pushing back for the state?
I think there's a chance that people will always be pushing to rule over others. That's a possibility. More coming up. This is Free Talk Live.
How confidential is email? Consider this fact. In a recent survey of IT professionals, over 35% admitted to snooping through their boss's email. It's just one of the many privacy risks that come from relying on this aging technology. If such risks bother you, visit privacyharbor.com, a secure alternative that keeps messages private and beyond the reach of eavesdroppers. privacyharbor.com, because normal email is not secure.
Are your Federal Reserve notes looking for a safe haven? Mine found it in precious metals. Not paper promises, but actual gold in my possession. It is liquid, it is private, it owes no one, it cannot go bankrupt, and it maintains its purchasing power. Find your answer at Midas Resources. That's 1-800-686-2237. The answer is at 1-800-686-2237.